Welcome to the Not All Love and Light podcast with your host, Romy Moreno.
Today, I want to welcome Jen Mendoza to the podcast. She is a Reiki master, spiritual healer, coach, and my friend. Welcome.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to finally have you on. I was like, we're over 40 episodes and I haven't had Jen on.
What? Yeah, and I think you spoke about me like on one of the beginning episodes. So the fact that you haven't had me on yet is even funnier.
Episode one. So if you guys want to go back to 2 years ago, you were mentioned in the first episode. We were different people back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's divine timing, right? Because we could have had you on episodes ago, but the way the universe works, you know, everything comes in divine timing. And I wouldn't know what I would have had you on to talk about, you know, maybe BLG, Body Love Goddess, or something like that, right? But I feel in your evolution and what you've worked on, I've noticed that you were posting a lot about shadow work. And I'm also a shadow worker. And I was actually going to do a solo episode about shadow work. And I was like, hello, let's just do it together, right? So there was a moment 2 weeks ago or a week ago, whenever we were in Vegas, where we were talking about doing the episode or whatnot. And we were estranged, our friendship, for about a year and a half. And that needed to happen for whatever reason. But I did mention to you that our friendship now is completely different than it ever was before.
Chills. I have chills with that because it truly is a very, very different friendship.
Yeah. And it's because we're different people. And I have goosebumps too, as you could see. And the reason being is because back then, you know, we loved each other, but we would trigger each other a lot, right? You would trigger me, I would trigger you. And that is a very important aspect of shadow work. So it came full circle to me in Vegas and I'm like, ah, it's so perfect.
It is so perfect.
So let me go now and give you, you know, the space to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about everything that you do. You do so much and take it away.
So I hate to even put a title or a label on myself because I feel like it just limits what I do, but I am in the spiritual community. I like to think of myself as a spiritual therapist, and that goes for mental, emotional, and physical. So I work with energy, several different energy therapy modalities, known as Reiki, Metatron, Violet Flame, like there's several. I also do hypnotherapy, color light therapy. I am into Oracle and tarot card reading, but I really also coach and mentor people. So in every practice that I facilitate, it's always going back to teaching the client how to do for themselves, no matter what I'm doing. So it goes back to the root of this is your homework. This is what you need to do. This is how you show up for yourself. So it's always about coaching and mentoring. So again, not to put a label on it, but my biggest title, I guess, if you will, it is to coach and mentor people through everything that I do. And Romy is actually the person that brought me into this. I don't know how many years has it been, like 5, 6?
2019.
Is that when I started coaching with you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was in a really strange place. I was in a very strange place. I was very unfulfilled in my life and I was looking for answers and something. And I just knew that life was more than my paycheck and working as a vice president for a property management company and just being a mom and a wife. And it just felt so empty. So my journey started with you, life coaching and personal training.
I would like to say that it was our children that brought us together.
That's true.
And I think that's such a beautiful thing because they were friends at school and my son would always talk about your son and they introduced us. It was very short. We met at like the trunk or treat or whatever.
Yeah.
Then we went on the Legoland trip, which I did not want to go to because I'm not that mom that's like you know, with the mom. That's I did not want to go. And I remember that you were sitting behind me and I was like, yeah, I guess this is my son's best friend and we're going to do this, right? But even that day, I was already triggered, right? Because you reminded me so much of my older sister. And I go, man, they're so alike. They're so alike, right? And there was a part of it. And usually when I feel like that, I'm just like, I don't want to engage, you know, but because of my kids, I was like, but there was, apart from that, there was something inside of me that, and it was like almost a voice that was telling me, you have to give her a chance. You have to give her a chance. And I have goosebumps thinking about it because I was like, okay, there's something there. I don't know what it is, but we're rolling with it, right? I remember, you know, once we started getting to know each other, I could see the beautiful person that you were. And one thing that I will never forget is like for almost a whole entire year, you literally dropped off my kid every day after school. Even when your kid didn't go to school, you would drop him off because I was working full time. Like, who does that? Right. So I knew that regardless of whatever it was that you were going through, like there was a good person in there for sure. I remember as we got closer, when we were going to Rapids one day, I look at you and I go, I have a feeling that you're meant to do something greater, like helping people or whatever. And it was just, I just knew, I didn't know that it was going to be full blown Metatron, BLT, you know, but I just felt that. And it's a beautiful thing to see your growth, because to be there from day one, I remember when you walked into my house, it was kind of dramatic, but okay, you know, you with your Pisces moon and being a Sagittarius, sure, let's do it. You walk into the house, you close the door, and you're like, I want all in. I want everything that you're offering. And at that time, I had just quit my full-time job with the state, and I was a personal trainer, a life coach, and a yoga trainer. You're like, I want it all. We're signing up for everything. And I'm like, done. And we did. And we worked together up until the pandemic. The pandemic is almost like when we stopped working together. But you did so much amazing work during that time. And then after that, you know, you're the one that did this work. I was just there to guide. Just like you said, I teach the tools and the strategies, but you're the one that does the actual work. And one of the biggest things is, you know, we're very, very similar. And that's another thing that we talked about in Vegas. One of the aspects of shadow work is if you want to know where you need work, when somebody triggers you because of something they're saying or they're doing or they're being, ask yourself, what part of myself is that? And that's what happened. We were triggering each other because we're so, even our childhood traumas, a lot of things that we've gone through is very similar. We talked about a trauma that has been coming up for me recently. And you're like, that's interesting because me too, with the same thing. And it's like, we're still there, but we've done so much work where we're in a different frequency where we have this friendship that we have.
Right.
Let's talk about what shadow work is.
I literally was right there.
What is shadow work?
Oh, man. So if you want me to define it, shadow work is the personality, if you will, that is created as a result of the trauma or experiences, because it may not have been traumatic per se, but the experiences that you went through in your childhood and adolescent years, right? Mm-hmm. So this personality is developed as a result of your life experience. And the shadow side tends to be parts of us that we are ashamed of or embarrassed of, that we try to push down, that we don't want others to know about. A perfect example of that would be like the side of you that gets bitchy, if you will. Am I allowed to say that on here? I can, right?
Then who am I?
You know, that gets bitchy or catty or judgmental, right? When you're in, you know, a dynamic of viewing another person, right? That shadow can emerge. And shadow comes out in so many different ways. And shadow can express itself in many different ways. And the key to finding what it is the parts that you don't want others necessarily to know about you. That is the biggest indication of something that is your shadow self.
Yeah, I mean, the concept, I'll just go a little bit more on the history of it because you explained it so well. It was introduced by Carl Jung, and it refers to those unconscious parts of our personality that we suppress or that we deny, almost like we don't want to see it. So that's why when someone is so out there expressing them, we're like, oh, so triggered. But these aspects that we see as negative or socially unacceptable, right? Like jealousy and all of this, like we're human, we are going to have all of these things. But by acknowledging them and understanding them, we could gain so many insights into our behaviors, our reactions, our emotions that otherwise we might not be aware of unless we actually take a moment to like, where is this coming from? And this is why I feel shadow work is so tied with inner child work, right? Mm. Because a lot of that usually is tied to things from our childhood that created these patterns that made us suppress, or maybe there was, we were a certain way and we were called out for like, why are you so hyper? Or why are you so this? Or even an example of what happened in Ohio with the whole telling a child that you're bad. Mm-hmm. For those listening, Jen went with me to a retreat in Ohio. And one of the things that came up for me, even though I was the one facilitating, was since my son is autistic, he's very different than a lot of other kids. And he could be seen as hyper. And when he was in the previous school he was at, before he started being homeschooled, he was always seen as the bad kid, the kid that I always had to pick up. And he was a completely different person than he is now. Like when I just allow him to be himself and just support him for who he is, he's flourishing. He's flourishing. And those are the things that happen. And then we had somebody that was at the retreat talk about their experience that he believed to be bad because he was always told he was a bad kid. So it just came full circle for me in that moment. And that's why I feel like inner child work is so tied in with shadow work.
Absolutely. You can't do one without the other. And I just want to, while you were talking, a moment just flashed in my head. And it's like, it's a connection that I had made before, but this is like a full circle moment. And this is what the beauty of talking about these things is because it does come up and it gives you a chance to identify it. And the moment that you create the awareness is the moment that the healing happens. Mm-hmm. That's the moment. So I remember about 16 years ago, before I moved to Miami with my son's father, I used to see all of his friends from Miami come up to Gainesville where I would live, and I would see how they would dress. And I would just be like, oh my God. And then when I moved to Miami, forget it. When I moved to Miami, I was like, where are their clothes? Why are they dressed like whores? Like, why do they look like that? It was extremely triggering for me, extremely. And I couldn't see it from the space that I see it from now. Like, then I was like very judgmental on it, but I couldn't understand why it bothered me so much. Mm. Now looking back on my journey, it's not that like Miami changed me or tainted me or made me a whore, right? It's that somewhere along my journey, I started to feel safe in my body. Mm-hmm. And by being safe in my body and doing the shadow work and doing the inner child work, I began to understand that feeling safe in my body means that I can express myself however I want. So now you see me on my Instagram dancing in my bathing suit, right? Like completely different person. And it has nothing to do with how my body looks now versus how it looked 15 years ago, because I've gone through these fluctuations in my entire life where I have been thin or overweight, thin, overweight. So it had nothing to do with the way that my body looked. It had to do with the way that I felt inside my body and the shadow work that I needed to do. And that shadow work, like that connects back to sexual trauma, sexual abuse, things that I went through that I did not feel safe in my body. Right. So I needed to hide myself physically with clothing to protect myself from being engaged in that sexual trauma. You know, like if I show my body, they're going to abuse me. I'm going to go through that trauma again. So by hiding myself, I'm protecting myself. So the ego and the shadow kind of come in together to create this like crazy wall. But now that was just a full circle moment for me that I had never made the connection until right now in this very session.
Oh, I love that. Honestly, you're a great example. And I want to bring this to the podcast because I talked about this in the last episode with Summer, which just so happens she's from Ohio, exactly the same place we were at the retreat. So it was crazy. A lot of people want to lose weight and they can't.
I have chills because I already know.
And the reason why, like, honestly, the weight is not going to come off until you do the inner work, because the weight that you're carrying is it on your body. Sometimes it's energetically, sometimes it's other people, sometimes it's generational. And not until you completely start doing the work within, you'll start seeing results, because you can get results, but they'll come back. You'll gain the weight back.
Not me getting emotional, because I started my weight loss journey with you, and you remember the frustration of my thyroid and everything just kept working against me.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, and that's why I tell you, like, I am so proud, because if anybody understands you, it's me. Like, from the beginning, from day one, I understand your traumas. I understand your journey. I understand, like, everything, not only because I was your coach, but because as your friend, and also in those sessions, we went really, the first time you ever did inner child's work was with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I remember where you were and how far you've come. And when we were in Vegas, even though we're very much alike, we're yin and yang. Like, Jen is like sparkles, and she's out there, and she's like naked, and she's like looking hotter than anybody out there. And I'm just there, like, all in black, like, don't look at me. I'm like trying to hide, and everybody's like coming up to Jen, like, you look amazing. Oh my God, that top. She's like flaunting Fashion Nova and like being the biggest spokesperson ever. And as somebody that knows your journey, just to witness that, I fucking loved it. Hey, it's me, Romy. I want to share a moment with you. You know, we often talk about healing, growth, and doing the work on this podcast. But where do you start? When you're feeling overwhelmed by life's challenges, trapped in the past, worried about the future, or like you're constantly battling your own thoughts and emotions. Living in a reactive state versus response, passing up opportunities because of lack of confidence and fear, not knowing how to set boundaries with others, but most importantly with yourself. That's why I created my Healing the Root Cause program. It's for those out there feeling overwhelmed and yearning for change, connection, authenticity. Pretty much, you're tired of your own shit. Together, using my proven root framework, we'll recognize your triggers, overcome the past, operate with confidence, and transform your life. As I say, it's not all love and light, and this healing journey is about confronting the shadows and embracing the mess, but still loving yourself through it all. I'll be right there with you, guiding you on this journey, every raw moment, every breakthrough, every step of the way. So if you're feeling that tug and want to apply to work with me, fill out the application in the show notes, and we'll see if we're a good fit for each other and take it from there. Either way, I'm rooting for you. I was like, yes, girl, yes, girl. And then we also had the conversation of, because of this shadow work and other things, there might be some people that don't feel comfortable being that person next to you when you're getting that attention.
If there was anyone that was next to me in those moments in Vegas, it had to be you. Because there are not many people that would be comfortable in that. And it has to do with, like, just their lack of self-worth,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they haven't yet done the work.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with, like, personalities or anything. It just has to do with someone that has put in the work, that knows that this is not a competition. It's not even about looks. It's like, oh. The people in Vegas, men and women, it's mm-hmm. like,
mostly
they
women
didn't even see my body. It was like my energy. They yeah. saw my energy, and I'm being seen for my energy for the first time. Like, it's like people are seeing it.
Yeah. It was definitely your energy that they were, it was like, you know, the bugs when they see the light, they're like, like, it was exactly that. And I loved it. And I remember telling you that, you know, somebody else might have felt uncomfortable. You know, I'm just there trying to hide. I think there was this one girl that was like, you have a nice ass. And I'm like, are you talking to me or is it still her? You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like trying to hide. I'm wearing shades. I'm trying to be incognito. And then I'm standing next to this beam of light.
You're like, thanks for bringing the spotlight over here, Jen.
But I loved it because like I said, to witness your journey and to see your confidence, because that's another thing, you know, that confidence that you've gained because you've done this work. It's because you accept the good and the bad parts of yourself, because you've done the shadow work, because you've done the inner child work. And to see it, it's not fake. You can't fucking fake this shit. I say this all the time. People try to fake things, and at the end of the day, the mask gets heavy and people will see you for who you truly fucking are. And you cannot fake energy. You cannot fake energy.
Nope, you can't.
You can't. I just loved to see you like full throttle. And I remember there was one night that you told me, you're like, I almost didn't wear this because I didn't want to be so, you know, but I'm glad that I did wear it. And I told you, I was like, I'm glad you wore that. I'm glad you wore that today.
Yeah. I think that was the pearl top that I almost didn't wear. Was it that one? No. What was it? I don't even remember.
I think it was the first night.
Oh yeah. Cause I wasn't sure, because in my mind, I'm like, I need to match. I need to go, like, my old self, parts of my old self come up, and it's like, you know, this is again the shadow that tries to emerge, because it doesn't go away. The shadow does not go away. Mm-hmm. So the shadow tried to emerge and say, you know, you need to blend in. You need to like match. So if Romy is going like not in sparkles, then you need to go like not in sparkles and sequins. Like you need to like blend and fit in. And then me came out, the part of me that is like, no, fuck this. This is who I want to be. Like, I want to wear this. This is how I want to express myself. This is how I want to feel. And it's a beautiful feeling when you can step out into that, knowing that you're the only one. You're the only one, but still you're comfortable enough in your own vessel and in your own energy to feel safe enough to express who you truly are without worrying about how it's perceived by others.
Right. And we brought up a good point that night when you told me, I'm glad that I wore this. Because it doesn't matter how much work we do, that inner critic or that fear could still pop up, and you have that doubt, like, maybe I shouldn't. And because you did, you built more confidence.
Right.
And then you got reassurance from everybody and their mother.
Literally.
Everybody and their mother. I was wearing my invisible suit all weekend, except for that one girl who mentioned my ass.
Me, your ass was out that night, though. It was ass.
That was not the intention. I was very annoyed. It was like the universe pushed me to wear something flashy because I didn't want to be seen. But thank God, when we went to go see Rufus Soul, they had towels and I was able to cover myself the entire time.
It's amazing. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. So what do you find are the most effective techniques for shadow work that you've done?
For me, it is a lot of self-reflecting, like time alone, self-reflecting, right? So that's the beginning stage of it. So I have found that the moment that I feel triggered by someone else, and let's talk about what a trigger is. People want to know, like, what is a trigger? The moment that you feel like annoyed, frustrated, pissed off, like anything that is not like a normal, just go with the flow kind of like feeling or emotion. When you feel just in any type of way, that trigger, pay attention to that. And then cue into, okay, why is this making me feel like that? So the example would be like what I just talked about. Oh, those girls, they look like whores. The moment that comes out of you, that is a less than like peaceful vibration, right? So the moment that comes out, you should start to ask yourself, well, why am I judging someone else? You see, that judgment in itself is a trigger. So you don't necessarily need to be mad or bitchy or feeling like that. But that moment that negative vibration comes out, that's your trigger. So then that's when you start reflecting on it. But I find even more important than that once you identify that you are triggered by something and you're like, well, why is it that I'm triggered by that? You may not know right away. Conversation with other like-minded people is the key for me. I think for everyone, it varies on what's most effective for you, but conversation with me to bring that shadow into the light, right? So we're talking about, I'm feeling some type of way. So whether I've identified what the shadow is connected, what that trigger is connected to or not, I don't know. Sometimes I find it, sometimes I don't, sometimes I'm on the cusp of it, but I find that having conversation with people to help shed light on it starts to bring that shadow out, right?
With then, the right people.
Correct. With like-minded people who have put in the work. So not just any random stranger. Like, these are people that you feel safe with, that have knowledge, that have experience in working, in doing the shadow work and working with that. Otherwise, they're just going to further exacerbate your shadow self and push you deeper into the hole. But once you've identified, like, I can sit here and talk to you about now that I've done this full circle closure of, okay, well, I used to judge these girls for wearing no clothes, and now I realize that it's because of this. Now that I'm talking to you about it, that shadow is out there in the light. Like, there is nowhere for her to hide. There just isn't. Now, does it mean she's not going to try to reemerge? No, she's going to be there always. She's always going to be like, hey, hey, hey. But now I know. And it, like that, I catch it. I'm like, oh, there you are. I see you. Come into the light. Come into the light. Come into the light. So for me, it's just reflection and then talking about it.
Yeah.
What's your method? What's your method for?
So one way that I described what shadow work is I use the example of Jekyll and Hyde. We have a professional doctor that puts himself out there and everybody sees, and then he turns into this monster that he tries to keep hidden. So that's one analogy that I use, or metaphor that I used with a lot of my clients, so they could kind of see it, right? Because everybody learns different. But effective things that work, because some people are like, how do I get started with shadow work? Like, how do I know? Well, we talked about the triggers, other people triggering you, but techniques for shadow works include journaling. That's very important.
Which is like with the self-reflection that I do, mm-hmm. is the journaling. Like,
yeah. Writing down your thoughts, your feelings, it could uncover hidden aspects of yourself that through writing, when you're just in that flow, meditation is huge. You could listen. There's a bunch of shadow work meditations on YouTube, but just sitting with yourself and asking your higher self, like, where is this coming from? What do I need? Observing your thoughts, your emotions, but without judgment.
Yes.
And then guided introspection, because you're at a place where you could self-reflect on your own, but other people cannot. You need to go out and hire somebody that has the experience, whether it's a therapist or a coach or a mentor or a spiritual healer that has done this work, and make sure that you're asking them, like, where are you at with your shadow work? And ask certain questions to see, and always use your intuition. Each of these methods helps you bring that unconscious material to light so that you could integrate it into your conscious awareness.
Integration is huge. And I think that's
everything. With everything, because it's like, okay, so now I'm a shit person, right? Like, I feel like a shit person because this came up. Like, what do I do with it now? And then you go and work with the wrong individual who all they care about is money or keeping you codependent on them. And you go even deeper down a hole.
Right.
You end up worse than you were.
So if I may share another story, which you already know. But I'm going to put it out there because I feel like it's such a wow shadow self aspect that a lot of people will be taken back by it, but they'll also gain a lot of introspection on it and be able to relate to it in some capacity. So they really will understand how the shadow emerges, why it emerges, and then how to integrate. Okay. So I realized in recent years, because I've been digging into this shadow work, right, that I am drawn to men that are unavailable. And when I say men that are unavailable, I mean in every shape of the word. So maybe they're in a committed relationship, maybe they're married. And it's not like I'm pursuing men that are in relationships or married. That's not at all the situation. But a healthy mindset would say, okay, this person's unavailable, they're in a committed relationship, they're married, I have no interest. Like, done, like, have a beautiful life, I wish you well. But there is a part of me that had this curiosity, right? That had this curiosity so that when a person that was unavailable would approach me or show interest in me, suddenly there was a part of myself that was like, game on. Like, I'm suddenly interested in entertaining this. And it didn't make sense to me. And I never spoke about it. And this has been going on now. I didn't speak about it because I'm like, this is shameful. This is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. Why? Well, I'm worth more than this. I'm more valuable than this. I deserve better than this. So I never understood it, right? But the moment that I decided to bring it into the light and start talking about it and saying, listen, this is a part of my shadow self that I really need to work with because there's something here that is missing. I was able to identify where it came from, right? Because when I was younger, My dad got into a new relationship with my stepmom, and the details of that don't matter. What matters is that at some point in that dynamic, I felt like my dad chose my stepmom over me because I ended up leaving that household and going to live with my mom. So I felt like I was not chosen. So in that dynamic, that created a wound within me, a trauma within me that this shadow emerged and developed, because now as an adult, I'm like, oh, I'm now in competition with my stepmom, right? This is the younger version of me emerging through my shadow to say, this time I'm going to win. This time I'm going to be chosen. This time I'm going to feel better because you're going to choose me over my stepmom, which is the other woman, right? So that was a part of me that needed to be heard, seen, felt, healed, right? So this is my shadow, the personality that's created, grasping on for healing. So the moment that I made that full circle connection, I was like, oh, crap. Okay, this is why it's happening. Now I know the why and what it's connected to. But how do I integrate this into my life in a healthy way? Because you can't just ignore the shadow. Now we have to find a way to hear the shadow and to integrate it. So I realized that as an adult, my partner needs to be someone that is highly wanted, that's like attractive, that is like sought after, that catches the eye of other people, but at the end of the day comes home to a committed relationship with me. So that's the part of that's one way of integrating that shadow component of myself. And I'm on the journey now to find other ways to integrate that don't involve another person. Right. So that's where I'm at now. But the work is never ending. It's always a circulation of like, how can I integrate this into my daily life?
And also knowing that the only person that you need to choose or needs to choose you is yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important to say how recent this is, because people sometimes have the misconception of, oh, she's done it all. She's at some stupid level. Like, I can't stand that.
That was the other thing I was going to talk about too.
But to bring to light that this is very recent for you, that you're out there helping people. And this is the reason why you're able to do what you do, because you're still doing the work. And then having that very close group of people that could hold that space for you. Because I mean, when you told me, I didn't judge. I was just like, oh, that's something. Where is that coming from? And we talked it through and we were able to figure out where it was coming from and how to heal that. And knowing that we want available people in every way, because, you know, my dating history, there's been a lot of unavailable people as well. And it's because it's almost, I knew for me, something I had to sit with in my shadow work journey was, I thought I was very available to bring in that divine partner for me, right? But I would choose people that were unavailable, either emotionally or whatever, because a part of me did not want to have somebody there to control me or to tell me how to live my life, or having to care to someone or think about someone else, when I just wanted to think about myself for a while. And I needed to think to myself about myself for a while. Unconsciously, I was unavailable.
And that's huge, because we are triggered by the people that are unavailable, but yet we are.
Right. And I'm like, why are you such an ass? Like, why are you not available? Like, I'm here. I'm ready to love you when I am not.
Right.
I was definitely not. And I mean, at this point in my life, I feel like I am for real this time, open and available.
Like for real. Okay. You guys heard that? For real.
Yeah. Not for fake, but for real. But at this point in my life, I'm not really attracting anybody. I've been completely alone forever, celibate for almost a year, very soon. So it's been a journey of a lot of inner work and healing and sitting with myself and those parts of myself that are not the best. You know, one, I'm a Scorpio. I have a lot of Scorpio placements.
Yes, you do.
Okay. And they're all in the first house. So, you know, with my Aries moon, I could tell you, very selfish, very jealous, but very to myself. And it was just traits that I had that I needed to work through. And the jealousy and all of that, it's been years, you know, since I've worked on that. But I could see when I see another Scorpio being in that low vibrational, unevolved Scorpio energy that I'm like, oh man, I used to be there and I'm not anymore. And a lot of my shadow work had to do with everything that represents Scorpio in the low vibrational energy. And honestly, I want to talk about how doing this work helps you build better relationships.
Absolutely. In every sense of the word. So romantic relationships, platonic friendships, familial relationships, even professional relationships. Like, this work gives you a solid foundation to set boundaries and to know how to be in relationship effectively.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it gives you your power, like truly. Mm-hmm. I feel, I love shadow work. I love being a shadow worker because, man, I've had clients really open up about some things that they would never open up to other people about because, man, I could see how much shame you feel for that if anybody else would find out.
Right.
Right. And holding that space for them and letting them know that, you know, it's okay. We all have our shadow selves and these are just things, but let's figure out why you feel this way. Where is this coming from? And how, and seeing their evolution, just like I've seen your evolution, it makes me so happy because how much further can we go?
Right. Can we talk about that for a moment? Because, you know, there was this mentor that I used to work with, you know, who would always tell me, you're almost there. You're almost there. You're almost there. You just have, this is the last little bit. This is the last little bit. This is the last layer. I am here to tell you that is the furthest from the truth. Where are you almost? Tell me, where are you almost?
Where are you arriving to?
What is the final destination? Are you dying? Because that's where, that's the death is the destination. Okay. So I just want to make it very clear that I don't want people to have this false expectation that you put the work in and you're done, right? As long as you are a human being living and breathing on this earth and you start this journey, you are healing. That is the whole purpose of being here. So the healing never stops, ever, 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 ever. The moment that you allow the healing to stop is the moment that you're not evolving, growing, and making the best out of your life, right? So the beautiful thing about it is that the as you continue to move through the work, it becomes easier and it's secondhand nature. So your awareness is sharp. You pick it up immediately. So your ability to shift from that anger, from that resentment, from that jealousy, from the shadow space, right, into peace and happiness is rapid fire. So what used to take me months to get through, to process, to come out of, now takes me seconds, minutes, hours at most to move through. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I question myself and I'm like, wait, I moved through that entirely too fast. So I need to go back and like, I need to, is it? We're good. Because you can move through it at rapid speed now because you know, I've reprogrammed my nervous system now to be able to respond to it directly. So it's not that the work ever stops, it's that it becomes easier to navigate through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that said, when we say, you know, you're always going to be healing, there's always work to do. But you enjoy life too. You're not always going to be beating yourself up like, oh, I'm hating it. There's moments where, you know, there's certain things that you know that you're still working through, but it's not like you're completely in isolation mode, which I know a lot of people are in that right now. Isolation and hermit mode, that's not what it always is. Because something I want to mention is that avoidance isn't healing.
Correct.
Because there's people that are just avoiding situations completely, avoiding certain people or whatever, because they don't want to heal or they don't want it to bring up certain things that they need to heal from.
I am so happy you said that. I am so happy you said that. I'm going to give you a good example that, you know, people that are going through drug addiction, right? And they're in rehabilitation. When they're fresh in there, they are taught to avoid certain things just for a short period of time, right? And that's to build their strength as they're working through identifying like what the triggers are and trying to get through like a certain phase, right? But once you come out of that rehabilitation that is like 60, 90, 120 days, right? The idea isn't to avoid life outside of you. And I have seen so many people that have, because remember, I have experienced a lot of people in my life that have struggled with addiction and are either in recovery or have been through recovery. And the misconception there for the people that are going through it is that this is a trigger, so I need to avoid it. And that is the worst thing you could ever do to yourself, because the moment that you can't control being triggered, that is going to trigger you because you have no control over the trigger, is the moment you're going to relapse. So mm-hmm. think about that in your life too, right? Like you cannot control external sources to you. So the idea isn't to avoid the triggers. The idea is to learn how to navigate your life from a place of peace and healing and happiness despite the triggers.
Yeah, I feel like in the beginning, maybe a certain period, yes, of course, especially if the wound is still very, very fresh, but it's like, oh, I'm vegan now, so I'm not going to go to the steakhouse to dinner where they're celebrating your birthday because I don't eat meat, instead of finding what works for you. An example is doing 75 hard, which we both have done. When you're on this journey, avoiding all social things because you can't drink, right? And it's like you have no life because you can't drink or you can't party or you're doing these things. That's not the purpose. That's mm-hmm. not the purpose. If you're avoiding the situations, then you're missing out on the actual rewards of whether it's a program, whether it's your healing, and truly get over these things. You're missing exactly. out on rewards.
Absolutely.
Whether it's, for me, like I've stopped drinking for over a year and a half now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. People automatically think, oh, you can't go out, you can't hang out, you can't do anything. Yeah, okay. I have so much fun. I do things. I don't need alcohol to have a good time. And correct. Even in the beginning, when I stopped drinking, I would be around people and people would feel more uncomfortable with the fact that I wasn't drinking than I was with them drinking.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Because they carry shame around it.
Right. And that's where I'm like, I look at it from a different perspective. Wow. So there's some work you need to do because you're not comfortable with a choice that I'm making in my life. When it should just be like, I'm drinking, I'm having a good time, and you're not drinking, you're having a good time, and we're just here together, and that's it.
Right.
Then they avoid, and they just don't want to hang out with you because you're different, and you're not the same, and they can't be themselves around you because they have created this idea that maybe you're judging them for still doing something that you've let go of.
Right. They're already judging themselves, thinking that you're judging them because you're healthy and not drinking.
And I really don't care. Like, do we want?
Do we want?
But yeah, that's very important. Avoidance. There's no healing in avoidance because mm-hmm. some people are just avoiding. They go into hermit mode, but not with the intention to work through things. They're just avoiding everybody and everything. And once they feel better, then they go and they repeat the same fucking patterns over
right.
and over
but what and is, again. What does the feel better look like? I mean, truly, because
they could get out of bed. They could,
like, right. They could get out of bed.
Yeah. They could drink and they could get out of their house, or they could smoke weed and they feel better, or they could, you know, disassociate with whatever. They go to the gym and they're dissociated because it's not just the substances. It's like, what are you distracting yourself from? What are you using to, is it social media? Is it drugs? Is it anything? Alcohol? When you take all that away, you're left with absolutely just yourself. That's part of the reason a lot of people cannot stand being alone. It blows their mind that I would go to a concert by myself. The only part of that blows my mind is that I drove to West Palm Beach by myself because I hate driving. That's it.
That's a little mind blowing.
That's the only part. Some people can't even go to a movie by themselves or to dinner by themselves because they're not comfortable with themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's where that I feel like that's also part of working with your shadow, because you're so uncomfortable with being alone. I could not. And if I was, I needed to be distracted. So now, like, whenever I do take myself out on a date, I put my phone away, because what am I doing? I'm here, but I'm not being present. I'm on my phone. I'm being distracted. I'm escaping from the moment. How do I feel? Do I think people are looking at me like I used to? Or I'm just in my own space. Right? Which is where I usually am now. But in the beginning, it was super uncomfortable just going anywhere.
What do I do with myself? Do I have to think now? I have to keep myself company. What is
now
this?
I have full-blown conversations with myself.
Sometimes, on the regular.
Sometimes I need expert advice.
Absolutely. I'm forever talking to myself. You find me walking down 117th Ave and I'm dancing, talking.
Like, I seriously, when I say I have conversations with them, like, I laugh and everything. There was one day that I was at the beach. I went for sunrise and I was at South Point and I'm looking at everybody with their dogs. And I'm just looking at the different dogs, and I was on a little bit of mushrooms, so I was a little bit activated, you know. But I'm looking at the dogs and their owners, and I just see how some dogs are so miserable. And then I think, like, this is a thought that I had. So you know what it is, that you're just an animal and you just get adopted by this person, and now you got to deal with this person for the rest of your life, and you didn't even choose this. This was chosen for you. And what if the person is just like always miserable? And I'm like dying laughing, just looking at these people like, wow, that was a whole thought process that I just had about people with their dogs, right? So whenever I hear a dog just yapping, I have a neighbor here that she is so grumpy. One of these old ladies that are always complaining about everything. Oh my God, you parked in my parking to unload your groceries or whatever, like that. Her dog, I'm surprised it's quiet now. That dog is always yapping. And I'm like, I would be miserable too. And then it came full circle to my sunrise at Southwood. I would be miserable too.
Poor dog's like, help me. Speak my truth. Somebody help me.
And we've geared off from the shadow work, but going out on dates with yourself could be a lot of fun and part of a very healing process, you know, because sometimes you feel like, oh man, like nobody wants to hang out with me. I'm doing this alone. And then it turns into, I want to do this. I'm not waiting for anybody to want to do it in order for us to do it.
Yep. Absolutely. I love that.
It's true though. And I'm talking from experience. Before, I'd be like, oh, nobody wants to go with me to this concert. Like, I'm not going to go, but I want to go to this concert. I want to see Odessa. I almost went to Vegas. I almost went to Vegas alone, and I'm glad I did it.
I'm so glad you did not. Please don't.
It was my first time there. It was your first time there. When I was there, I was like, I'm so glad I didn't make this a solo trip, because it's a lot.
It is a lot. It is definitely a lot. Some things are meant to be with a companion. Yeah. You don't have to, but you know, like it's a lot to take in.
Yes, for sure. All right. So what are some signs that people might have unresolved shadow aspects that you could think of?
I feel like judgment is a huge one, right? So you may not necessarily be triggered in a way that, you know, like you're feeling angry or jealous or whatever. But the moment that you start to judge someone else, there is definitely something within you that needs to be reviewed, right? Because when you're judging someone else, ultimately you're judging yourself. They are the mirror for you. And while you think that what you're judging, you don't have that quality, right? Somewhere inside of you is some variation of what you're judging. Mm. So like for the example of the girls that I'm like, oh, you wear your clothes, you look like a whore, right? That doesn't mean to say that I'm a whore. That's not what it is. It has to do with the fact that they weren't wearing clothes, and a part of me wanted to feel safe in my body to be able to feel comfortable to dress in whatever I wanted to be able to show my skin, to be able to be comfortable in my body.
Right.
So it wasn't that I'm a whore.
Yeah.
there's a connection there. Like, why are you judging? What is the judgment truly about?
With that, I feel like you had to think of them as whores, since you know you're not, in order for you to feel better about it. right?
Right.
Because I could never dress like that because I'm not a whore, and therefore, and it wasn't right. about that. It was more like giving yourself a pass for not being able to dress like that.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, for sure. I mean,
a way to keep it suppressed.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, also, what I think of too is reoccurring negative patterns in your life.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Intense emotional reactions to certain situations. And we mentioned people or feeling mm-hmm. stuck or unfulfilled. So if you notice that you often project negative traits onto others or you struggle with self-sabotage, these might be indicators of unresolved shadow aspects.
Yeah.
And we all have
them. I would also say to note how your body is feeling too in response to certain things. Like your nervous system may respond to something that you don't quite understand. So we develop these attachments to people, places, or things that really don't make sense. And so when that separation occurs from that attachment, we feel it in our body and our nervous system, and something feels wrong. And like, you feel like, okay, this is an alert. Something is wrong. I need to be attached to this person, place, or thing. So the fact that it ended is not good, when in reality, it's just an indication that there is a trauma there and there's shadow work surrounding that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I think it's important. Like, journaling is huge when it comes to the wish meditation and journaling, like writing about what your fears are, like, why are you scared to do certain things, your triggers and those negative thoughts and patterns that you have, like writing about it, just even if you don't know where to start, just write, I have this negative thought pattern.
Right.
And continue writing that until maybe an idea comes up, or, you know, so you could reflect maybe on past experience that might've shaped these feelings. Whose beliefs are these? Are they even yours?
Right.
Or they were implemented in you from childhood. You're bad. You're a bad kid.
Absolutely. And if you don't know what to write, like, don't think so hard. Just write what you're feeling. And the words don't need to make sense. Just right. get them out on paper.
Right. Nobody's reading it. You're not writing a novel. This is not going to be published. Just fucking write.
Right. And I also want to point out that the work that we keep talking about, the work is ongoing, right? So I don't want to like discourage anyone from getting started on their journey or continuing their journey. But just think about if all of the healing came to you all at once from the time you were born to your adolescent years or your young adult years, right? If all of that were thrown at you at once, if your nervous system alone would not be able to sustain that, right? So this is why like we spend our healing journey, like we spend the rest of our lives healing, if you will, because we can't sustain all of that unlearning and all of that healing and all of that relearning who we truly are in one short setting of a couple months or a couple years. So it's meant the same time that you've lived is the same time that you're healing. So just think about it in terms of that. But as you're healing, you learn how to have quality of life and happiness exactly. and peace.
Which is very, very, very important. Life is not all about just healing and healing and healing, because that's another form of
it comes in increments when it needs yeah. to, when you're ready for the next little tidbit or layer. But alongside of that healing, you get to experience what true bliss and joy and peace and happiness really feel like.
Yeah. And I feel too that it's going to show up for you based on the capacity that you have to receive whatever trauma or whatever past experience you need to heal from. Because I could tell you certain things that have come up for me in the last couple of years, if that would have came up for me in the beginning, I wouldn't even know what to do with that. I wouldn't even know, because it's too intense for where I was at. So the Absolutely. Universe is always going to, it's going to show you what you need to heal, even though it's still going to hurt and it's going to be hard. And it's like, whoa, why? But at the capacity of where you're at.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. The things that are being thrown at me now, if they would have been thrown at me 6 years ago, I'd have been like, what the fuck do I do with this?
Well, it would have sent you to a therapist or something, because it was not where I was either to be able to help you on that journey. I'm able to help now as your friend. But no, there's no way. And I just love also how our friendship has evolved, where you're able to hold space for me.
Yes, and that was not a thing 6 years ago.
Because honestly, as you know, healers and coaches, friendships could be very hard because people always expect you to, they have you at a certain pedestal, right? Where I'm not asking to be anywhere. I'm just trying to be your friend, right? So they expect you to act a certain way. They expect you to be a certain way. So if you're off, it's almost like, oh, what's wrong with you? You know, and they don't know how to hold that space for you. So finding those friendships that are able to do that for you, it's so rewarding and it's such a blessing. So I am very grateful for that. So thank you for doing the work. I guess going back, I just heard the little voice that said, give her a chance. It came full circle. And we're here today because of our kids, which I think is a beautiful thing. Shadow work could also be beneficial for anxiety and depression because you're uncovering and integrating these hidden parts of yourself. You could address any underlining issues that contribute to this. So if you feel a certain way about yourself, you're like, you have that fear, like, oh, what if people find out? Or what if once you learn how to love your shadow and sit with your shadow and be there, you're not really going to care. That's just one example. With that said, it does help with anxiety and depression and things like that. It depends on what level, because if it's really, really bad where you need to seek professional help, then I will always advise to do that. But this is something that definitely helps with anxiety and depression as well.
I will also say that depending on the type of post-traumatic stress disorder, it also helps with that. Doing this work in conjunction with licensed psychiatrists or psychologists is a thing too, right? So like if someone is medicated and it is in a really detrimental state, it's not to say that you can't do this work. This is to work in conjunction with, alongside that.
Yeah, definitely. And it's normal to feel resistance to want to do this work. It goes back to that avoidance that we were talking about, because this is very uncomfortable. You're facing parts of yourself that you've repressed for a very long time. And now you're bringing it up like, it's here. I can't hide from it anymore. So it's very important to approach this process with self-compassion and patience and to seek support that you feel is right for you, because the support that you and I might need is not the same support that somebody else might need, right? But I feel support is very much needed in this process if you've never done this work before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's needed for almost anyone.
Yeah, because you could really get into a really dark place if you don't have the right support to guide you, to help you through, to talk things through. It could become, you could get depressed or feel like there's something wrong with you and not want to just deal with yourself anymore. So at least in the very beginning of these stages, if you've never done shadow work before, I highly, highly suggest that you work with somebody who has done this work.
Absolutely. And to add to that, there are a lot of, especially men, that feel that doing this work is a sign of weakness or asking for support is a sign of weakness. And I'm just here to reassure, and I know that you are too, that it is the complete opposite. It takes total courage and strength to face the darkest parts of yourself and to ask for support in doing so. There is nothing more identifying of a strong-willed, a strong character in someone that really is fearless than to seek this help and to ask for support and to do this work.
There's a lot of vulnerability when you do seek that support, but it's not something that I would recommend for you to do alone, especially in the beginning, especially if you have PTSD or really bad trauma where you feel like you don't want to face certain things. There's certain things maybe you had to do for survival that you're not proud of.
Right. And coping mechanisms that you're attached to that are your safety blanket, that when those are stripped away can become frightening.
Right. So it's a very powerful, I mentioned this earlier, this gives you so much power to be able to do this work and to heal the parts of you, because those parts are always there.
Yeah. You can
view it, because sometimes I could see certain things come up and I'm like, wow, I could really go there, but we're not.
Yeah, but you can either be a prisoner of the dark parts of yourself, or you can have complete and total freedom by integrating it. So you get to choose.
Agreed. Let's talk about the difference between your shadow self and your true authentic self. Like, how do you know the difference?
For me, I know I'm operating from a place of shadow when there's anything but just free flowing, just kind of peace, right? So if I'm operating from a space of a motive or a space of judgment or a space of fear or shame, I know that it's my shadow self that is in the driver's seat, right? But when I'm just operating out of a place of like freedom, a place of peace, and a place of just being, where it just feels different and there's not a motive attached to it, right? Like, I'm not trying to get a certain outcome. I'm not doing this because I'm expecting something to happen. Then I know that I'm being in my authenticity, right? Like, I'm just like, if I'm standing dancing in my living room and I'm doing it just because I just feel like it, right? Like, it just feels good and I'm just flowy. That's my authenticity. And whether or not I choose to share that with you all is it just from a space of, you know, let me inspire. I feel so good. I just want to share this with others. But if I'm doing that from a space of, oh, I think that this is going to happen if I do this and I want this outcome, so let me do this, or, you know, I'm looking for attention or seeking validation, then that's operating from a place of shadow and not authenticity.
I think your shadow, like we've mentioned, consists of all the parts of yourself that you repress or deny, right? The shameful parts. Yeah. Whereas your true self is your whole authentic being that includes both the light and the shadow aspect, right? So when you integrate your shadow, you become more self-aware. And what keeps flashing to me is authenticity. Authenticity. Because you recognize,
yes, I feel that
all the parts of you have value, the good and the bad. Let's say you're a very angry person or you have anger, right? And you've learned to integrate that, suppress that. That's still going to come up when needed. So even though it seems like a shadow aspect, it could be a light aspect as well when needed. Because sometimes you do need to get mad and you need to get angry in order to make certain outcomes happen, right?
Right.
Like, for example.
Right. It's not all about being zen all the time.
That's why my podcast is called Not All Love and Light, because it's not, right? My son was being discriminated in school. I had to bring my anger, but in a very calm way where I was able to communicate in a way that these people could not say a single word back. If I would have gone in there as my Aries moon would have, very impulsive years ago, throwing shit around because it could have gone to that point, nothing would have gone across. Mm-hmm. But to feel that anger in order for me to take action the way that I need to and to express myself the way that I need to in a very calm way, there's power in that.
Absolutely.
There's power in that.
Because you can be assertive. Your anger translates into assertiveness.
Mm-hmm. And not that it's perfect. My Aries moon does get the best of me sometimes. I sometimes text somebody too quickly and I'm just like, oh, I should have just waited a little bit. You know, maybe I shouldn't have. Like, I get excited. It usually happens like when I get excited and I might text somebody at the wrong time. I'm like, fuck, shouldn't have texted them. Like, they're going through something right now. And now I look like a pure Aries that's selfish and only thinks about themselves. But that's something that I'm still working on because it's hard.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. So if you do uncover something really disturbing about yourself doing this work, approach yourself with so much compassion and love and understand that everyone has aspects that they're not proud of. Acknowledging it is the first step towards this healing journey and being able to love your shadow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everyone has it. Every single person has shit.
Mm-hmm. Everyone. And this is, healing isn't linear. Some of my clients are like, well, how long does it take to see results? For some people, it could be immediately. I'll have a session with someone and that week they're like, now I'm noticing this, now I'm noticing this, now I'm noticing this. When others, it could take a couple months. The timeline varies from person to person.
It depends. It also depends on the work that you're putting in and how seriously you're taking it.
Mm-hmm. Correct. The key is,
like, are you resisting?
Right. The resistance and also the consistency and patience with the process. You're trying to get to that destination that we said does not exist. Right?
Bingo.
Over time. Bingo. Yeah. Over time, you'll likely notice the improvements in your self-awareness and your emotional well-being and in relationships. We had this conversation also recently that sometimes we are not healing from certain things, but because of all the other work that we've done, it affects other parts of our lives. So something that I shared with you was how I would never get excited about going on trips. I would go to vacation with certain people and they're just so excited. They're like, are you excited? I'm like, yeah, I'm happy that we're going, but not that excited. I'm not like at your level of excitement, but when I'm there, I'm happy, right? And I told you that. I know that that stems from the fact that my dad would tell me that he was going to go pick me up and I would be waiting by the window, waiting for him to pick me up. I'm so excited because I haven't seen him in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I'm so excited he's going to come pick me up. My mom comes and tells me he's not coming. And that started happening frequently where I would get really excited and then I was let down. I was excited. So what did I do? I learned to just not get excited and not believe that it was happening as a safety mechanism, right? And it just came full circle for me too with a friendship that also ended last year that I know their purpose in my life was healing my father wound. That the minute I also did that, where I'm like, I just don't believe you, it's just not going to happen, I'm not going to get excited about hanging out with you or going out with you or doing all these things with you, I'm just going to step back. And if it happens, it happens. The minute I did that, that's when our relationship started changing and didn't last very long after that. But I remember how excited I was to go to Vegas. And I remember being in the car. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to see Rufus. Like, I'm going to cry. Like, I can't wait. Like, and then I caught myself. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so fucking excited about going on this trip. I don't get excited. Like, this is not something I intentionally worked on. Allowing myself to get excited. I didn't intentionally work on this, but because of all the other work that I've done, it was a result of the work that I did. Mm-hmm. And I remember sending you a voice note right away, like, guess what I just discovered?
Which is so awesome because that's how things unfold in your life. So that's the joy and the happiness and just the bliss that life brings when you are doing the work, right? And it's not like you said, it's not like every day we're here doing the work. No, but because we've done the work, there's like a residual effect in our life. And as the work approaches, we hit it head on, right? So it could be, man, it was like a year that I didn't have anything that was like nothing like big, right? It was just like little silly stuff that isn't even worth a mention that I can't even recall. But it was like a year before I had something that like hit me like a train that I was just like, oh my God, it's been a minute since I have felt emotions or faced something that I needed to heal like this. But I got through it in a matter of like days. It was like, you know, done, right? So, but that's what we mean by this journey. The residual effect of all of the work that you have put in like shows up in your daily moments.
And I feel that it's a testament to our friendship. Right? Doing the shadow work and being here and having the friendship that we have now is completely different than we've ever had in the past whatsoever.
Right. It's like we were yin and yang and we've always been yin and yang, but that yin and yang like was a mirror to each other that just like pushed each other apart almost, right? Like, so we weren't able to like coexist in a peaceful way. And now it's like we're able to just like connect and embrace. It's full circle, right? Like we're just able to just fit and embrace and just be in the complete opposition that we are, but like in total sync.
Yeah. It builds so much self-awareness and you're less likely to project your issues onto others. And I feel like that's why you could have healthier and more authentic connections with people when you've done this work, which is where we are.
real connections.
Yes.
I think there's only one other thing that, like, if you want to explain it, that I think people get confused is between the shadow and the ego. I hear a lot of people talk about, oh, because my ego, because my ego, because my ego. And I'm like, actually, that's not your ego. Mm-hmm. That's your shadow self. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know.
How would you notice the difference?
I think it can be tricky sometimes, right? The ego serves to protect you. The ego is something that we actually need in life to keep us from stepping out in oncoming traffic or making decisions in our life that can be life-threatening. That is why the ego was designed to save our life. So I feel like if you are having a knee-jerk reaction as a result of protection, like it's something to protect you, then you are operating out of ego. But your shadow is like the personality that kind of sneaks in with it. So ego is not so much personality as it is a way of that knee-jerk reaction to protect. And like when you were talking about your story with your dad, for example, and you're talking about how you just wouldn't allow yourself to get excited anymore. That is not your shadow self. That is your ego saying, I'm just not going there anymore.
It's a protective mechanism we build from the shadow aspects, because it does go hand in hand. And like you said, it is tricky, but the shadow is what's created based on the suppression and the resentment and the pushing away and kind of like the looking away. That's what the shadow is. It's those parts of it. The ego is the protective mechanism. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not a bad thing, because a lot of people think, oh, ego. Yes, you could be very egotistical, and that's a completely different thing. But when people are like, oh, I just want to get rid of my ego, I'm like, really? Like, really?
So, yeah, you don't want to protect yourself in any means of, okay, cool.
Yeah, correct. So it's like, we cannot completely get rid of the ego. We need the ego. The ego keeps
us. Need all parts of us.
Yeah. The ego keeps us safe. Okay. It operates in the realm of consciousness, as shadow is the unconscious. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right. So the ego is conscious. The shadow is unconscious. And the ego, it's almost like it manages and mediates between our internal desires and the external reality. Whereas the shadow just contains the repressed elements that the ego has deemed unacceptable.
Correct.
Yeah. Understanding both it's crucial in this process. I'm really glad that you brought that up, because
it's tricky.
It's tricky. But integrating this shadow helps you become more whole, and it helps you manage that ego. And that's one thing, people go back and they listen to that very first episode and we talk about what happened at Copper Blues. When you drink, it's all ego.
All ego.
Okay, it's all ego. So when we were in that bathroom and that girl was literally she was trying me. I did not look for it. I was just trying to wash my hands. And she was, I don't even know where she came from. And I'm like, what? My ego was completely like, oh, it's been a while. Try me, hit me first. Try. And then she turns around and you're there like, you want to take this outside? Catch me outside.
Catch me out. And you bet my ego will still show up in that way.
Yeah. And it's like, and the ego's almost like, how dare you do this to me? In a way, it is our protector.
Right.
But you just cannot allow it to be more than our spiritual selves, our spiritual beings of who we are.
You can't allow it to control you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And knowing.
You have to be able to control the ego.
Correct. Because a strong, healthy ego is essential for a stable sense of self. But an inflated ego and being egotistical can lead to arrogance and the inability to accept your shadow, because you could never. You could never. As we wrap it up, what is one last piece of advice or insight that you'd like to leave our listeners with when it comes to everything not being all love and light?
This is always just a thing that surfaces for me and is like a resounding motto in my own life. that you must embrace both the dark and the light, because one truly cannot exist without the other. And that goes for every aspect of your life. So embracing the shadow parts of you as well as the light parts of you, but also embracing the emotions that don't feel so great along with the emotions that you want to chase, right? Like embracing it all, because that's what creates wholeness.
Amen. Jen, where can our listeners find you and connect with you?
Instagram, JEN_men_. I also operate a physical location out of Empire Pro Body Tech. It's called Harmony House Wellness. You can find that link through my Instagram page as well.
Fun fact, that is where I also do my sessions, because you are a BLG, Body Love Goddess, who's allowed me to share the space with you. So thank you very much.
Absolutely.
If this episode was extremely helpful, which I believe was very educational and very informative and funny, because we're funny, share it. Send it to somebody who you feel might need it. Remember to leave a review and comment, and reach out to us if you need help with this journey. We're here to be of service in whatever way possible. And remember, it's not all love and light.